WBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor with Judy Dempsey of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, Strategic Europe. She's the editor-in-chief, and it's the 75th anniversary of NATO. And never have the doubts been stronger than right now. Not even during Afghanistan was there doubt that NATO would no longer exist if. And your colleague John Denny from the U.S. Army War College has written an essay saying, there are major challenges. That's a polite way of saying this could be the end of NATO. It turns on the politics of the moment. I understand the U.S. right now is incoherent. I won't try to generalize what the politics are here other than the fact there's hesitation in several places about Gaza, about Europe. Just hesitation on war. It depends. The parties are inconsistent. So I go to the European side, Judy. Is NATO considered primary for the European Union? The NATO itself, they're not the same body, but there's a lot of overlap. And the understanding is a defense of Europe is a defense of Europe. Does NATO come to be regarded as successful and worthy and sustainable now in Europe?
For the Central Europeans and the Baltic states, and I mentioned this division again between Western Europeans and East Europeans, for them, the good news is that NATO has rediscovered collective defense based on deterrence. And this was thrown to the wind after the collapse of the Berlin Wall. Oh, there'll be the big peace dividend, didn't spend on defense, didn't spend on training, didn't spend on all sorts of military infrastructure. So the war in Ukraine and Russia's attack on Ukraine has actually reinvigorated NATO. Not only that, revived, if it's at all possible, the way NATO worked before 1989, but they've lost the generals, they've lost the memory, they've lost the institutional memory as well. They have to quickly rebuild this. But this is the plus side, that collective defense and deterrence is number one. However, there are real problems with NATO. And let's forget about the defense spending, which is always important, but look at the leadership inside NATO. The Europeans inside NATO, and I mean France and Germany, Spain, Portugal, are not leading. They are not strengthening the European caucus inside NATO. And not only that, they are not taking the lead over Ukraine. That's left to the Americans, not through NATO, by the way, but through the United States base in Ramstein, Germany, where all the military and political support for Ukraine is coordinated. And that's very, very important that NATO says it's taking a big role in Ukraine, but it's taking place in an American base. And what happens if Trump wins? He may not win. Are the Europeans ready to actually take the lead and continue to coordinate the aid in Ramstein? More importantly, will the Americans let the Europeans take this lead? This is a big problem. And it's not just an institutional problem. It's an ideological one. It's a security one. And the Europeans really should step up and say, we can do this.
Mr. Denny, Professor Denny also mentions the China threat to Europe. Is that part of the discussion when it comes to NATO, Judy?
Actually, China entered into the NATO discussions several years ago, about 2015. It's out there in terms of infrastructure security, energy security, disinformation, cybersecurity, ports, railways, trains, what they invest in. Yes. It's an issue. And the other big issue is what happens in Taiwan? Would NATO, pushed by the United States, play a role? You can imagine that some of the European countries would just walk away just not be involved in any kind of way to defend Taiwan. But it's always out there, way down the agenda. But China is a big issue now.
I did puzzle. It's a small item, given we're talking strategic, but I did puzzle this morning when Bloomberg reported that Chancellor Scholz had joined TikTok, as if he's unaware of the security breach that TikTok represents, that we're debating banning it right now. Just poor planning, or is this some gesture towards Beijing? Can we tell?
This I don't know, and I can't even guess the chancellor, but joining TikTok at this stage, he thinks he wants to get the younger voters, but this I cannot confirm. But It's a very strange direction.
Yes, I thought it was strange. I just mentioned it was in a Bloomberg report, but perhaps it's inaccurate. But I do mention that China, at least the way it's presented to me, is a global threat, not a threat just in Asia. And Professor Denny says that's necessary for NATO to enter into this discussion about how China threatens Europe.
The whole discussion also is about entering into the whole idea of how you use social media, how you reach out to the younger generation, how do you reach out to schools and technical colleges and universities and actually give them an alternative, you know, what Western values are really like and not the kind of social norms that are put out on TikTok and other platforms. The West cannot be complacent on this. Either we stand up and defend our values and explain them about freedom, the right to movement, the right to free speech and so on. But the West is very intellectually lazy on defending what the process has taken for granted for such a long time.
We loop back to Josep Borrell's remarks about a ring of fire around Europe. That's a metaphor that has resonance. Does it in Europe now? Is there some attempt to understand that, or is it still early days? We have about 30 seconds.
Well, he likes using flashy words like the ring of fire. What we have is a growing ring of far-right-wing parties in Europe as they stand for the European Parliament elections in June. So talking about a ring of fire means that Europe is actually building up for war. But if this is the case, Borrell should then understand what is at stake, and that's the security of Europe and the safety and the defence of Ukraine.
Judy Dempsey, the Editor-in-Chief of Strategic Europe for the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. I'm John Baxter.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,